35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a check-in with CHI Mercy Medical Center in Roseburg. A lot going on there in recent weeks with the higher number of COVID-19 case counts for quite an extended period of time. Numbers coming back down now, but we wanted to check in again with the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Jason Gray, and the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Nursing Officer, Nancy Hoyt. And thanks, folks, for being here this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Gray, first of all, I understand that you have some sort of breaking medical news we might want to alert people to.
We do. Very exciting. I just finished speaking with Dr. Danhofer at Public Health, and all of the COVID vaccine boosters, including the Moderna, the J&J, and the Pfizer, are now available for the general public on it. And we do have the FEMA trailer, which is over there in the parking lot just off Fowler Street by the library courthouse. Public can go there up until 6 p.m. and get the booster of their choice. Although it is still recommended that you stay with the original one if possible, but all of the COVID vaccine boosters are now publicly available.
And I know it's quite a process for that. Checking with Dr. Danhofer in the past few days, he kind of laid it out for me, both at the federal level and then at the state level, working with the other states that Oregon has sort of partnered with on double-checking data and protocol and things like that. And so it is that process has moved fairly quickly here at the end.
It has. It's a pretty complex process, like you said. It starts with an FDA advisory committee, goes to the full FDA, goes to a CDC advisory committee, goes to the full CDC, then goes to a Western Region Scientific Review Committee. It then goes to the governor for approval, and it's been through multiple steps. Safety has been reviewed and evaluated at multiple levels, but it did move quickly, and I'm happy to say that the general public can get the boosters. Effective right now.
All right, and they will be there until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll have more information about that, of course, as we roll along. Dr. Gray, I'm curious, with the number of cases backing down, how has that impacted staffing and the work at the hospital?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm going to actually let Nancy take a couple of these questions. It's more in her area of expertise.
Well, we're still getting help from the Oregon National Guard, which has been just terrific for us. The FEMA support has left, and right now we're using that National Guard in our roles as screeners at the doors. They're also functioning as housekeepers and working in the kitchen as well, and shipping and receiving. So that's been terrific. And we've continued to have our strike teams or traveler nurses that were funded by the Office of the Governor. And so they have also stayed here, and we'll start to see them phase out of Mercy operations over the next couple weeks or so and through the end of the year. So all of that is really good. As those COVID numbers come down, we've been able to then get back to our regular operations and see all of our regular types of procedures and patients that we have seen before the COVID surge.
And Nancy, how would this have been different without that additional help?
I shudder to even imagine. That was the key to how we were able to still take care of our community. We were able to open up other departments to have patients care in there overnight. This was really the only way that we were able to continue to meet the needs and not have a worse situation on our hands here in Roseburg.
And even with the current numbers, that is still a lot of folks that are in right now with COVID-19 related things, but certainly well down from the peak that seemed to hang in there for a very long time.
Yes, it did. In general, it was a two-month period of a high intensity of COVID cases. There was one afternoon that we ended up at 89 within our facility, which was extremely high. Today, and I'm sure Dr. Gray will talk about this, but we're down to 9. And all of those are at that point where it's more of a recovery situation. So it's incredibly positive at this component. But the last 2 months were everything that you would read and hear about in the media and watch on the news reports that we would see in the evening.
Yeah, Dr. Gray, tell us about kind of some of the current data in terms of the number of folks in.
Yeah, as Nancy said, we are down to 9 active COVID infections patients. We still have patients who are past that communicable period, but are still receiving treatment for the disease process. A handful are still in the ICU and have been there for quite a while. So we continue to take care of those patients in addition to any new active infections on it. But it has, as the numbers have declined, has allowed us to consolidate patients back into the critical care units. They're no longer flowing over onto the medical or the progressive care unit floors. It makes it a little not easier, but it looks a little more controlled for staff on it for the resource utilization.
And if people are hearing the number 9 and then maybe looking at the new report when we put it out here next hour, they'll see that around the county there's 20 hospitalized, but not only do you have Mercy, you have what's going on at the VA and the folks over in Reedsport as well.
Correct. And you could also have patients who are from here but are hospitalized out of the area on that.
And for the longer-term cases, is it a different type of care, the folks that end up in there for weeks or sometimes even longer?
Well, you know, the care is the ongoing process. They develop COVID. Usually it's a respiratory issue, respiratory failure. We are still continuing to support them through that. Some of these patients are still requiring mechanical ventilation. They're on a ventilator on that. We're treating that, the pneumonia. The quality, the involvement of the nursing care becomes really important, preventing things such as deconditioning to the degree we can, pressure ulcers, preventing secondary infections, the rehab, the therapy component, all of those become increasingly important.
And Nancy, at the height of everything, was having the right type of equipment, was that ever a concern? It seemed like you had a lot of these different devices being in use.
It was, but we have a daily huddle every day where we looked at our current volumes and the needs and then what our resources were available. There were times that we reached out to our partners throughout the state looking for additional pieces of equipment that we needed. At one point, we were able to go to a sister hospital in California who had some extra ventilators, and we were able to procure those. So we never ran out of any equipment that was needed because we were monitoring that and working with our Oregon partners as well as our system partners.
Now, Nancy, with the increasing levels of vaccination, do you think it's less likely there's going to be another large surge?
You know, that's the collective wisdom of those that look at these. That's what I read, and certainly Dr. Gray can speak to that. It's certainly our hope, and it seems like that's true. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Gray?
I would, Nancy. Great point. You know, as vaccination has increased, the modeling is projecting that we'll be at about 85% near that herd immunity, sometimes within the next month. That decreases the chances and the opportunity to have another widespread surge. Doesn't eliminate a little bit of a flare here and there. And I really want to stress, even though these are all positive, we can't become apathetic about our precautions, about the benefit of receiving the vaccine, about the mask wearing, the hand hygiene. Those are still, especially with the holidays coming up and the opportunities for larger gatherings inside, still going to be important to helping to prevent another surge.
And is there a concern, though, in Douglas County where our vaccination percentage numbers lag behind a lot of the other counties in Western Oregon?
Yeah, it is. When we look at a lot of these modeled data, they come from a state level on that, which includes counties such as Washington and Multnomah that have much higher rates of vaccination than we may hear. When we look at our modeling for Douglas County, we do lag behind a little bit about that. That does put us at a little higher risk for potentially having a surge or an uptick in number of cases.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer, and Nancy White, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Nursing Officer with us. live from Mercy Medical this afternoon. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. It's Umpqua Valley Live. We'll be looking at arts, entertainment, community activities. We'll give you an update on Umpqua Valley Arts. Talk about a For the Love of Paws fundraiser happening tomorrow. Also an update on the Roseburg Public Library, Wildlife Safari, and more on Umpqua Valley Live at 4 o'clock. Monday, Inside Douglas County, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer will be with us. Chief Medical Officer at Mercy Medical Center, Dr. Jason Gray, and Chief Operating Officer and Chief Nursing Officer Nancy Hoyt with us this afternoon. I'm curious, with the number of cases of COVID-19 coming down, has the hospital been able to change the rules for visitors and some of those protocols?
Yeah, actually we have, Kyle. As that decreased, we now have expanded our visiting hours up until 6 p.m., still one visitor per person per day, unless there are other, you know, support needs, physical, emotional support needs. But that has been a beginning of the return to normalcy that we've been able to do. In addition, along with that, we have been able to resume elective, non-emergent procedures, including surgeries. Again, trying to get back to focusing on the care needs of the entire community, not just COVID.
And, you know, with being able to do more with the elective surgery, again, I'm aware of someone I know who's in another community outside of the Umpqua Valley, and they had one of those elective surgeries that got put on hold, and yet while it's elective, it doesn't mean there weren't some impacts to having to wait based in, for instance, in their situation, a certain level of pain that just was not going to be dealt with until they had the surgery. And I know where they are. They're able to do that next week and looking forward to finally being able to get back to that.
It's a really good point. Just because it's not emergent doesn't mean it's not important and doesn't have longer-term implications for the patient. As a health system, we saw that during the first surge when everything was shut down. There were some implications due to that, cancer surgeries, surgeries for pain that needed to be done that didn't get done in a timely manner. And we and the system has learned from that, and really we're trying to shift back into meeting all those needs as we can. And like you mentioned, I'm glad to say we now have resumed elective non-emergent surgeries.
Well, and even during that time, we were able to squeeze in those high-priority cancer-related surgeries just to alleviate the anxiety for some of our community members.
And Nancy, as well, with the numbers coming down, is the ER staying pretty busy with non-COVID situations?
Yes, it is. I don't know, the last couple of days with all of the accidents on the road and the rain, it has been very, very busy. I would say at this point, it's just in an ideal state. We have more than enough staff. We have lots of room. We just have been able, that was one department that did very, very well through the COVID because we partnered with Aviva and the Crow Reservation to set up that triage process outside the ED. And so that was one key area that we were able to manage those volumes. So we never really had to compromise on our emergency level support for the community. And even now, it's just ideal.
Dr. Gray, with the recent vaccination mandates, the elephant in the room is, how has this impacted Mercy?
It's been an evolution on it. Attempting to educate, provide opportunities for staff to receive the vaccine, yet also working through both the state and common spirits process for vaccine exemptions, whether it be medical or religious grounds on that. As I said, it's a work in progress because our exemptions are handled mainly corporately. So once an employee or staff member applies for that, we may not necessarily know exactly where that is in the process until we or they receive the results. At this point, I'll let Nancy, she has the most recent information.
Yeah, the recent numbers. Again, to Dr. Gray's point, it's very fluid. But as of today, we would say that 75% of our employees have already been compliant or are in the process of becoming compliant and getting fully vaccinated. The other 25% are either having their exemption requests being processed, or we already know that they have been approved by our corporate system, and they will begin that weekly testing that is part of our standard here.
Do you have concerns about this issue for the long term?
You know, obviously, staffing will always be our concern. And even with these positive numbers, it will be a challenge for us going forward. It actually will be a challenge for every hospital in our state. It's not unique to Mercy and Roseburg. In fact, we're actually one of maybe a subpopulation in Oregon that are accepting waivers that have been approved. So that does work in our favor. But staffing overall is going to continue to be our challenge, both from just coming off of yet another COVID surge and then having this vaccine mandate.
And between the mandate and the COVID surge, has that impacted the ability of staff to, take days off or get a week of vacation, things like that?
You know, during the COVID surge at its peak, we did have to have everybody here on board. When we started that sincere downward trend, we did tell the staff, please go get your vacation because of the resources that we had here in-house. I sincerely hope that going forward, we won't be asking our staff to give up any of their vacations. That would be our intent and our hope going forward. But again, it's a very fluid situation. We're still hoping that more of our staff will become fully vaccinated. We still have some waivers that we don't know whether or not they have been accepted, and that is all going to affect the number of staff we have.
And along with the physical work, I mean, especially for what all of you are doing at the hospital, there's a big mental health impact to dealing with this COVID situation.
It has been, you know, if you were to ask anybody, even now we would say, gosh, we're tired. You know, tired is a bit of it. I think as we were gearing up for the vaccine mandate, a lot of the staff were very frustrated. The clinical staff were also frustrated with the patients that they were losing or that were so terribly ill because they had not become vaccinated. You know, we go into healthcare because we want to save people and we want to bring them back to full health. And it was a different journey for all of us, having so many that were so ill and so unvaccinated. That was frustrating and I think also led to being tired. Then we go into this vaccine mandate and, again, some of that vaccination frustration ongoing. I think at this point, now we just want to be able to turn the corner and start to move on. We did have some debriefing sessions for some of the trauma that the staff experienced or the post-traumatic stress. I think that was helpful. And I can't underscore enough the value that the community of all of the meals and the gift cards and the efforts that just reinforced for the staff that the community had our back and they understood that was also key to our employees knowing that they were doing the right thing and that they're still doing the right thing here taking care of our patients.
As Chief Operating Officer and Chief Nursing Officer, what's your role? What do those titles mean?
Well, I basically oversee the patient care that is delivered here at the hospital, so I am accountable for the nursing care that is delivered to any patient here. And then with operations, I partner with Dr. Gray and David Price, who also have operations elements, to make sure that our patient flow, the hospital is working seamlessly, that issues are addressed, et cetera. So I kind of have a combined role, and then I partner with my team.
And Dr. Gray, what's your thoughts about how the staff has done getting through all the last 3 months?
You know, like Nancy said, we are really proud of the staff. It's been a challenge. I think the thing you see in this community, especially here at this hospital, is when tough times arrive, the staff come together. They rise to the challenge on that. We've seen that in the past on October 1st. We've seen it again during this. You've heard the analogy. This has been like running a marathon at a sprinter's pace on it. It's very hard to sustain for 18 months, but the staff have done it. They've given their all. Sometimes they've given more than their all on it, really focusing in on it's our community. It's their neighbors. It's their loved ones on that, even to their own detriment. The expressions from the community of the gratitude, the gifts, the meals, the working through the post-traumatic part of it, that's all important right now.
All right, Dr. Jason.
Get back to safety.
Yeah, Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer, Nancy White, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Nursing Officer at CHI Mercy Medical Center. Thanks to both of you for being on this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQAN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.